That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com/bcasts.
Now it's time for our weekly catch-up with National Party MP James Meagher.
Welcome back to The Wire. In my weekly interview with National's James Meagher, I begin with last week's announcement of the disestablishment of Te Aka Whai Ora. Te Aka Whai Ora, or the Māori Health Authority, was established to address several Māori health issues, including overrepresentation in the health system and underrepresentation in the workforce. I asked James about why it was disestablished and the replacements that the National Party might offer. We also discussed the smoke-free legislation repeal, which was also introduced in the last few weeks. The repeal has been met with backlash from opposition parties and public protests, with many arguing it follows arguments from within the tobacco industry. We discussed the repeal and these possible links, as well as National's continual commitment to smoke-free 2025. Here is that interview. The closure of Te Aka Whai Ora, or the Māori Health Authority, was announced in the past week. Why will Te Aka Whai Ora be shut down just 2 years after it was established?
Yeah, so we don't think a big new bloated bureaucracy is not the best way to improve health outcomes for any New Zealanders, let alone Māori. So what we've done is we've decided to shut down Māori Health Authority. It's what we campaigned on, and we are going to instead use those resources to actually focus on what's important in health, which is the need of individuals. So I'm Māori, right? I'm Ngāi Tahu. I don't think for a second that my DNA makes me any more or less healthy than anyone else. But what I do think is that my background and my upbringing and my socioeconomic status, poverty, exposure to the criminal justice system all have impacts on health outcomes, and I think they are the things that we should target.
Te Aka Whai Ora was established, as you mentioned a little bit, to address a discrepancy in the health system, with many Māori facing worse outcomes and being underrepresented in the workforce. What kind of replacement is the National Party offering to address this issue?
Well, what we are focused on is we focus on improving outcomes. And so if you focus on delivering better public services through the health system, because of the fact that Māori as a population are overrepresented in the health system, if you can improve, you know, waiting list times and access to cardiologists and access to hip surgeries and diabetes treatments and all the kinds of things that Māori suffer like everyone else, maybe at a higher rate, then you're going to improve outcomes overall. So that's what we're focused on, and we're going to do that targeted based on need, not based on trying to figure out whether someone's grandmother or grandfather means they should jump ahead in the queue.
It appears that given the Te Pai Ora Amendment Bill was rushed through at Parliament, the Waitangi Tribunal, which had been preparing a scheduled hearing and inquiry into the bill, was not aware of when the bill would be passed and spent a good deal of time and money assembling an inquiry that was no longer possible once the law was passed. Was the bill rushed through for some specific reason, or could the government have given some prior warning to the tribunal that their efforts were unnecessary?
Well, the government did give the tribunal and everyone prior warning. It campaigned, and all the governing parties campaigned on disestablishing the Māori Health Authority throughout the election for the past year. And then when the result came in on October 14, that should have been fair warning to everyone that, you know, governing parties campaign on policies and they're elected to deliver on the policies. So we had a mandate for change, and we are carrying out the policies that people voted us to carry out. And we're doing that as quickly as we can so that we can move on to some of the more proactive policies that we want to put in place. So I think it's been well signalled. And ultimately, Parliament is sovereign. Parliament gets to make the decisions around what the law is, and everything else plays second fiddle to that.
Moving on to the Smoke-Free Amendment Bill, which is structured in three parts. The initial legislation was going to reduce the amount of stores able to sell smoked tobacco products, introduce a low nicotine limit, and introduce a generational smoking ban, which would affect those born from 2009 onwards. Why is the current government repealing this legislation?
Yeah, I think it's good to be upfront and make sure everyone knows that we do still support Smoke-Free 2025, that National Party goal put in place under the Key government, and we are committed to reaching those smoke-free targets, and we're actually pretty confident that by 2025 we'll be announcing that we've met those targets. So we just don't think that the previous reforms put in place by the government in 2022, I think it was, are the right thing to do. Basically, a lot of where we want to go is we want to drive smoking rates down by continuing to do what we've been doing, so making smoking cessation programs available, supporting Quitline, making smoking patches and vaping more accessible, increasing the excise tax, all those things that have driven smoking down to lowest rates on records. And of course, maintaining the prohibition of smoking on under 18. So we think all those are the best ways of reducing smoking, and that over time we will reduce the rates in a way which doesn't unreasonably infringe on, you know, the rights of grown adults to make decisions about what they do and don't put into their bodies. And we will still support those people in the health system.
When the bill was being presented last week, one of the main points that was brought up for the repeal was the impact on store owners who were relying on tobacco for income. However, some of the more prominent sources of these complaints have actually been funded by the tobacco industry, such as Save Our Stores last year, which was supported by the British American Tobacco New Zealand and Imperial Brands, two parties with a clear vested interest in supporting such a message. Why are we listening to the voices of tobacco companies when considering legislation around tobacco usage?
Well, I'm not. I have only met with dairy owners and local constituents in my electorate about the impact it would have on them. So I think it's pretty unfair to make that sweeping generalisation that Parliament's listening to lobbyists and aren't actually listening to constituents who I meet with every day. So I reject that, actually.
I guess what I was suggesting is not that we're only listening to these organisations such as Save Our Stores, but rather we are listening to their voices at all.
Would the public want certain voices to be excluded from the democratic process? I don't think that would be a safe route to go down. So everyone is entitled to put their views forward, and ultimately politicians and parties in Parliament will have the debate. And look, if opposition parties think that we're doing the wrong thing and they don't like smoking, they want to come out and ban it, then they should go out and say that. We don't think that's the right thing to do. We think that having a situation where, you know, in 20, 30 years' time you had 50-year-olds being able to buy cigarettes from the shop but their 49-year-old husband not, how would you police that? What kind of situation would you get into when you're requiring ID of 49-year-olds but not 50-year-olds? Didn't really seem to make sense. Didn't really seem like it was going to do much. So we've decided to pursue our smoke-free goals in another way, and I think that's important. And the underlying message to all that is that people shouldn't smoke. It's not good for you. Don't start. It's hard to get off, and it's very expensive. So my message to everyone out there would be don't smoke, don't start. And if you are smoking, get help to quit. It's available, and we're there to support you.
If we are aiming for smoke-free 2025, though, I guess would we be ending up in a situation where there are 49- and 50-year-olds buying cigarettes? That would be in the year, what, 2059? Is that really a reality that we should be even considering?
Well, that sort of runs to the point then, why have those restrictions in place in the first place? If we're going to be essentially smoke-free, then there's no need for a graduated age-based smoke-free generation war to come in place, which does generate some of those disparities and those inconsistencies. So I think we will meet our 2025 smoke-free target, which everyone agrees on, and which actually, if you dig into the numbers, is 5% of the population, smoking rates under 5%. And look, after that, it comes down to a pretty classic moral philosophical argument about what rights do we have to dictate to each other what we can and can't put into our bodies. And look, that's a discussion worth having. But our focus is on continuing to drive smoking rates down. As long as they continue to drop, we're happy with the progress that we're making.
That was the National Party's James Meagher speaking about Te Aka Whai Ora and National Smoke-Free Repeal.
That was our catch-up with National Party MP James Meagher.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.